Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your host, Pastor Cheryl Thaxton. And thank you so much for joining me today for Favor Life, the process of their faith and not by sight to the call, destiny, and purpose of God. In this 15-minute segment, you're going to be empowered in your walk of faith, empowered in the process of your walk of faith, even empowered and encouraged in how God is going to use you and how he's going to allow you to touch many lives by your obedient faith. As we grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as we trust him and obey him, as we allow the word and the will of God to be transformed and manifested in our lives, we're going to see ourselves touching many lives, being the light to someone else, being the salt to someone else, and even being that encouragement of strength for someone else's life. God always chooses unlikely people for his purpose and his plan. And when he chooses a individual, a tribe, a nation for his glory, then those people become all that he says, all that he's commissioned his word to and assigned his word to perform and to do. We've been chosen by God for his purpose and his plan. And it's amazing because God took us out of what we would never take ourselves out of, and he did what we could not do for ourselves through the blood of Jesus Christ, and he's called us for such a time as this to be instruments of righteousness for his glory. We've been looking and studying in faith in this series, and we're going to continue to study in faith. We looked at the heroes of faith, and now we're going to go deeper and further into the walk of the heroes of faith's lives. We're looking at Abraham at this time, and we're going to go further into that study. As we look at in Genesis, the 15th, 16th, and 17th chapter, what we're seeing here in this Abraham walk, as I said before, is a walk of righteousness, a chosen generation, a chosen race, a chosen creed that God is using to be the seed of him in the earth. And you have to understand that Abraham goes through the process of allowing God to shape and mold him, to allowing God to transform him even the more. When the 15th chapter, we see that Abraham basically is in this predicament where he goes into covenant with God, and God explains to him further how he's going to manifest his will and his glory in the life of Abraham and the descendants of Abraham, but he's going to do so not by just choosing him and his descendants, but sending a seed, which is his son. And his son is going to be that seed that's going to be the righteous link that's going to settle once and for all what is necessary for man to be in complete fellowship with God. There will be no more animal sacrifices after Jesus comes and after Jesus has done what God has already commissioned him to do, which was dying on the cross for us. So God is letting him know what he's going to do, and he basically is giving the responsibility of rehearsing this over and over and over in the ears of the descendants of Abraham, so that they would know who they are and whose they are and what God is going to do, so that they would look forward, look for the seed, look to what God is going to do. So we get and we see that Abraham is still, God is still dealing with him. And as I said before, an Abraham walk is a walk where you have vision for beyond where you are. It's not into the spirit what God is going to do, and you receive it and you praise God for it, and you rehearse it and you expect it. There's sight that God gives for us to see. And when we see, that's to see the problems around us. That's limited sight, that sight that we understand just where we are and what's going on. But when you have vision takes you into the future. Vision takes you to where you're going, and it lets you see what God is going to do. It lets you see how he's going to move and how he's going to transform and how his will is going to be done. And when God gives you vision is something that you cannot just throw away. He shows you something that you didn't show yourself and pulls you into an eternal place, into a place where you know it's not in your time, to let you see something and grasp something and have it develop in your life. Because as you see vision, as you grab vision, your life begins to run, shape itself after what you've connected to God and the Spirit with, and you agree with God that this is his will. So now once you agree, you start moving in that direction as what God has already showed you. So many of us, we're moving in the direction of vision because God has given us a vision for ministry, a vision for our lives, a vision for our family, a vision for that business, a vision for the future, a vision for that community, whatever it is God has given us for. And we see that and we run passionately after because we understand that is the will of God concerning us in Christ Jesus. That's what God wants to see. That's what God wants to develop. That's what God wants birth. That's what God wants manifest. So we're moving in that direction in obedient faith, knowing that as God has showed it to us, it's going to manifest. It's the same thing with when we look in the Bible and we see that Joseph had a dream. What he saw was the vision of God. What God showed him was where he was going, and he couldn't shake what God showed him. You won't be able to shake the vision that God gives you. You won't be able to let it go. It will be something that when you're asleep, it visits you. When you're awake, it's what you think about. When you get ready to go to bed, it's what you think about. And you find yourself trying to figure out how you can help God or how you can even obey God even the more so that it can manifest in your life. We get here and we see that Abraham now, after he's received, had this account and this encounter with God, he goes into Egypt. And he goes into Egypt during the time that there was trouble going on, there was a famine going on. So he goes into Egypt, but while he's there and he deceives the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and God deals with them. In the process, what the king does is he now gives Abraham slaves. He gives them money. He sends them away wealthy because Abraham basically said that Sarah was his sister and not his wife. And so once the king finds out this was untrue and he doesn't want God to deal with him and he knows that God's hand is on Abraham, he does not want to cause God to deal with him in a way that's not pleasing. So he sends him away with all this blessing, and part of it was a slave named Hagar. Now, the problem with him taking the slave was not that, you know, all the things that he received, the blessings from other nation people blessing him, because the word of God came to him in Genesis 12 and says that whoever blesses you, I'm going to bless. So he received the blessings. The problem was that there was something in Abraham and that he had not dealt with. It was part of his character flaws, because we see that Sarah now understands, okay, I've waited a long time and God hasn't blessed me. When God speaks a promise to you, when he speaks a word to you, you're going to have to allow time to have its perfect work. And God uses time because time is what perfects us. Time is what refines us and prunes us and it gets us ready. Time is what God uses to deal with us. Time is what God uses to cut away stuff that is not like his will or in working in it according to his plan. Time is what God uses to make us trust him even more and help us to build patience. It's what God uses in a way that we cannot understand to get us where we need to get. We have to allow that perfect work of what God uses in time to be performed in us. When we rush time, when we try to help God out, we step in the way and we do something outside of the will of God that is not his perfect will, but his permissive will. It's a will that we ourselves have now walked in and not the perfect will of God. And when we walk in permissive will and not perfect will, what happens, what develops, what shape, what's birthed in permissive will is what we will have to deal with, that we'll always wrestle with perfect will, always wrestle with promise, always wrestle and try to come against that which God has ordained for our life, because we did something with our own hands instead of allowing God to be God and working and moving in his timing. We don't like to wait on God. We don't like to wait with time. We want it now. But there are some things that God will do in our lives that is going to be over a period of time so that we're mature enough to handle it, so that we're mature enough to walk in it the right way, to do what he said, to be mature enough to have the wisdom, the knowledge, and the understanding that we didn't have when he spoke it. Time is something that God uses. If he spoke a word to us concerning what we would do, it doesn't matter how much time passes. We're going to be and become all that God says. And we're going to be able to handle what he says. When you look at the life of Sarah and Abraham, even after Sarah had Isaac at an old age, she still had over 25 years to enjoy what God gave her. So whatever God is going to do in your life, you're going to have time to enjoy what he gave you, what he promised you. That it's not going to be too late. It's going to show up on time. It's going to be in the perfect timing. It's going to be in that set time. It's going to be in the timing that God is going to allow you to enjoy it, to understand it, and for people to realize that God is faithful, that whatever he promised is going to happen. We have to wait on the Lord and be of good courage in our wait process. We don't like doing that. We've got to rejoice as we're waiting. We got to trust him as we're waiting. We've got to believe as we're waiting. We've got to expect as we're waiting. And we've got to allow him to work in us, work through us, as we're waiting for that which he's promised to show up. He doesn't want us to go and make an Ishmael. He doesn't want us to put something to life or do something in our own will that is going to war and fight against the promise, against what God has for us. It's going to be perfect will. So we see that Sarah wants to help God out. And when she starts to help God out, she mentions it to her husband. And when she mentions it to her husband, he doesn't fight her on this because there was something in him that desired Hagar. There was something in him, because any man would have said, no, we're going to wait on God. We're going to wait on the promise. And you have to be careful that whenever you're trying to do something of your own will, that you don't find someone who agrees with that outside will, that your own will and not God's will, that you have to stay in the middle, in that plain path of what God is saying, and don't find those to co-sign on what you know that you're not supposed to do. And it's easy for us to even try to put together the right words or the right concepts or even the mindset that says that what we're doing is right. Now, in the mind of Sarah, what she was doing was right. But the consequences of what she did shows up later when she understands that because she can't have children, Hagar begins, once she sleeps with Abraham and she becomes pregnant, she despises Sarah. And Sarah gets upset and she says, send her away. And Abraham is in the middle of this fight because now we see that what you want to happen despises you and says, I should be the one that's married to him. I should be the one that's taking your place. I should be the one that's running this household. She despises Sarah because she understands now I have the ability to do what you cannot do. I have the upper hand. And when you put life to something that God has not said, you can expect the enemy to try to mock you or even to try to use influence over you or to make it feel or appear that they have the upper hand. So we have to be careful that we stay in that place where perfect will is always done. We don't want to be in that place where we allow our own fears and our own insecurities to drive us in the place where we do something with our own hands. When we do on that job, confiding in someone that you thought you can trust and they go and take what you said and make an uproar, or in that marriage where you confide in someone who now takes what you said and twists it or manipulates you or tries to do something other than or brings division in your home. You have to make sure that you continue to rehearse what God says and you say what God says and you believe what God says, even when it looks like everything in your life is producing the opposite. Everything in their lives is producing the opposite about a child. Time looked like it was against them. Their bodies looked like it was against them. Even their adversaries, their enemies, even the people around them, it looked like they were saying, you calling yourself something and now you can't even produce what you call yourself. And everything that God has spoken to them, it looked like it was not panning out in the way that they thought. But that was the time to just hold on to the word of God the most and decree and declare with all their heart and expect it and with gladness and joy say God said it and he cannot lie. It's going to manifest. That's what you have to do when your back is against the wall and it looks like it's not going to happen. You've got to decree the word of God. You've got to rehearse it in your mind. You've got to speak it out of your mouth. You've got to get the word that matches what God has spoken and you've got to pray it by faith, expecting it, knowing that God is faithful. He who promised it is going to do it. It's going to to come to pass. I'm Pastor Cheryl Thaxton. That's all the time I have for today. And I hope you are encouraged. Whatever God is telling you, you hold on to that word. And you hold on to it knowing that God would do what he said and no one can stop it. Have a wonderful worship service. And we'll see you next week for another empowerment. God bless.